Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T crew.
Whoa.
S-R-S-R-S-R-S-R-T. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to S-R-T today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with S-R-T. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for S-R-T Radio. Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable, live from the S-R-T studios overlooking Atlantic Station, and it is a happy S-R-T Wednesday. Of course, I am your host, H-O from Bankhead. New intro is here. Thanks, D-Money, for tightening that up for us. Hope everybody enjoyed. Shout out to my main man, Sun Ra. And shout out to Breezy, man. He did a hell of a job producing that thing once again as SRT is in the building. Thanks for tuning in to another hot show, a banger, as we call it. Sports Roundtable is in the building with the SRT crew. H-O, sports superhero, Hancock, D-Will, the coach, and of course, the man behind the glass, G-Money. And we in here, man. You want to tune in to the show, please give us a call, 404-603-8770. And follow us on social media. We on all platforms at SRT Radio. And don't forget to check out that one-stop source for sports, which is the SRT website, srtradio.com. Please tune in for that. And we got a lot to talk about tonight. First week of the NFL season, second week of college football. The only thing I pray is that your relationships, marriages, and things of that nature can withstand the sports season, because that's what time it is. So, I mean, you'd rather us talk sports than be in the place where they had them shoe models. So we go talk sports. Hey, we got a lot to talk about, man. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson, all those things. But before we get into that, fellas, first week of NFL, what's going on? Everybody good?
Yeah.
D-Will said he put a thumping on somebody in fantasy league.
Woo, woo. Hey, talk to me real quick. Talk to me real quick. Somebody finna be a finna be a breeze. Who team is that? That's new. I've never seen that team in the league before. I'm unfamiliar. Whose team is that?
Uh-oh.
I hear crickets.
Yeah, it's my team.
Okay, thank you very much. Took a thumping. Welcome to the league, G-Money. Welcome to the league.
God, it's just week one, man.
It's all good. Hey, listen. A win counts for a win when a win is a win.
There it is.
That's what happened in that game. A win is a win. But man snuck by me.
Yeah.
He talking about me.
Oh, I know. Hey, but how you going to win? You put up like 50 points.
Hey, and I left third on the bench. Last year, I did the same thing by not believing in Matt Ryan for 6-8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Oh, you best believe the highest paid quarterback in the league will be playing.
Matt Stafford.
Oh, no. He tried to trade Matt Stafford to me.
Yeah. And he started shaking. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I did right. Leave him on the bench.
Yeah. Man, here we go.
33. Up.
Turn it up.
He turned up.
So. Yes, sir. Once again, man, we doing our thing. Shout out to all those on Facebook Live. Thanks for tuning in. I see you. And I know we said it last week, but happy anniversary to Mama G and Papa G. That's Mrs. and Mr. Hurd. Happy anniversary.
Gosa. Last name Gosa.
Gosa.
Whoop.
Okay.
Gosa.
Straighten us.
Yeah,
straighten
us. There you go. Well, we'll stick with the Mama and Papa G.
There it is.
Yeah, that's their radio name.
Yeah.
We'll stick with that. Listen, we got some hot news coming up in a second. Then we got that power, SRT power. And we don't even believe in no other poll. We do our own poll. So y'all listen to that. We got our SRT poll coming up at around 7:22. And then Rain Man calling in this week.
Is he going to call this
time? I guess he going to call this time. Around 7:30, check out our Rain Man picks, and we going to probably give our locks. We'll still throw some locks in there if we can. Then we got Ballers and Busters as well around 7:47. Then the second half of the show, you already know, we're doing that roundtable discussion. So tune in, check it out, AM 1100, we on the dial. And we on srtradio.com if you want to listen live. And, G, let's go ahead and get this thing started, man. Let's get into this hot news.
Blazing. Hot, hot, hot. Scorching.
On fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Sports Roundtable Hot News, sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. You're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town? Please go over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. The best shrimp in town. It is verified. Go to BigEasyGrill.com to check out the menu. And we are at the Hot News Hancock. First week, NFL football. How would you rate it?
Rated very interesting. I don't know, a rating from 1 to 10, let's say 11.
That's because the Cowboys won.
Hey, well, you know, I was
because the Cowboys won.
It's going to be expected. We've been winning a lot lately. You know,
okay,
good.
Okay.
But, hey, one of the most interesting things was to watch New England play the way they played.
Yes.
Is it that 40-year-old thing? I mean, Father Time is undefeated. Are we looking at the decline of Brady? I mean, we've had some premature, you know, burials of him before to say that this is it. You know, he's looked bad and said, well, New England won't be the same. But he's been able to, you know, come back from the dead, I guess is what you want to say.
And the injuries don't hurt, don't help.
And the depletion of players that, you know, eventually that attrition, it's going to happen.
Right.
You know, you got defensive players that you keep letting get away. And it showed up a little bit this weekend when Hightower went out. He was the bell cow for the defense, you know, and they didn't have, you seen the big guy like, oh, it was a big defensive tackle they had for years.
Will Falk.
You know, you could count on him in the middle. And a couple of linebackers, I don't know, I'm at a loss right now for the linebackers I'm looking for. But you know what I'm talking about, the constant.
Vrabel.
Jamie Collins traded him.
Who was the other guy that retired this past year? That was always there.
Nikovic.
That's him. A constant to that defense. So those are one of the things I'm looking at being interesting. Real bad quarterback play. You know, if there are more, you know, if there are worse quarterbacks out there, I don't know where they are. The NFL is horrible after the first maybe 20 quarterbacks.
I agree. I
don't know how Kaepernick doesn't have a job. That's just ridiculous, but that's another story. A lot of unanswered questions. Indy has to be one of the worst teams I've ever seen to be called a professional football team. That's pretty bad, man. So
you're doing a roll call.
I mean, just you asked me what I saw. What was interesting,
yeah,
man. So I'm looking forward to week two. Let's see, because we kind of overreact,
right?
You know, because what we always say, just like in college football, when you gear everything toward that team and you're able to prepare and get ready for what they do or
right.
what they've done. Now, it's turnaround week. Let's see what happens this week. I don't think anything's going to help Indy unless
right.
you turn back the clock.
We get
Peyton Manning and those guys.
They seem to think that Andrew Luck is the next coming.
And I think they're going to pull something like what San Antonio did to get Tim Duncan. I think they're going to sit him and use that to you know, position themselves for the draft and probably try to restock it. Exactly.
They're going to tank.
Yeah. Talk about that.
Exactly. All right, question number two. D. Will, the best football game, college football game this past weekend, in your opinion?
In my opinion, there was a lot of great college football games this weekend, just to be honest. Like, Han just said it was bad football in the NFL. Well, you got really good football in college football this weekend. And my game of the week, even though I picked this game, if you bet with me, you lost. I'm sorry. Come back. I got you. All right. But Washington State Boise.
Yeah.
That was a very triple overtime, 47-44. Washington State did end up winning the game in the end, but it was back and forth. Typical West Coast game. No defense was being played on either side. All right. So they were throwing it up and down the field. But if you like exciting football, that was it. But my game of the week, I gotta go with Auburn Clemson. If you go back into the archive shows and listen to what I said about Jarrett Stidham, I said it before. They had him as a Heisman candidate. He was supposed to turn this Auburn offense around. And Auburn was supposed to be back this year. But I said it. He is not the right style quarterback for Gus Malzahn's offense. He's trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, and it's not going to work. All right? So we all now, Auburn loses, what do they do? We need to fire the coach. We need to bench the quarterback. The entire offensive line sucks, and we need to get Jay Jacobs out of there. One game and everything falls apart, all right? But those were my games of the week. But if you want to see exciting football, Washington State, Boise. If you want to see bad football, watch Auburn.
And they said that Gus Malzahn might be the worst offensive guru in the history of football.
And that's what you know, alarms you, because if they were winning or losing, let's say losing, I mean, 50 to 56 right. or something like that, you'd say at least the head coach is doing what you brought him in to do, which is be an offensive team. But the defense played well.
Yeah. Very well.
I mean, you look at the first two drives, if Auburn capitalizes and scores at least one of those touchdowns,
exactly,
it might be a different game. Yep. But they got inside the 20s and couldn't put points on the board.
They got inside the 20 several times.
That's what I mean.
They were in the red zone often.
That's what I mean.
Go ahead, G.
Oh, I was just going to say that, like you were saying, like you can't be a guru on one side of the ball and that side of the ball is playing terrible.
That side of the ball sucks.
And now you can't be awesome, score 6 points. Can't do that.
And here, they're always trying to make shakeups. Hey, the offensive coordinator is going to go to the booth because he gets a better perspective on looking down on the field. The offensive line coach is going to come to the field so he can be down there with his offense. That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just excuses.
They got a new play caller too.
Come on.
Like that famous stuff.
Exactly. All right, I've been getting emails and texts about updating the U.S. Open. We know it's past. Hey, listen, it's just a bad time. Football started U.S. Open tennis. Ladies and men, G, can you give us an update on that? We know it's over, but many people may not know who won and did not know that the Williams sisters did not make the finals.
Well, one of them just had a baby, so
yeah,
that's why she
didn't get exactly.
Yeah.
And the winner, Sloane Stephens, it was her first final.
Live hand claps.
There you go.
Her first final and first Grand Slam championship. She beat Venus on the way there. And she beat her best friend on the, you know, in the championship round. So I guess it was all good there.
And she made $3 million check.
Yeah, there's a meme of like her seeing like that check. Like really, this much?
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe she'll win more often now, right?
Please, I'll be through.
$3 million.
So you retired?
Going out on top?
Hanging them up? Yes, sir. Champion.
And on the other side, Rafael Nadal won it for, it was his third U.S. Open. I can't remember how many he has overall, but it was his third championship. His last one was in 2013, and he beat some guy I had never heard of. If it's not Nadal or Federer, I have no idea.
This guy with he got the size of a volleyball player, right? He's 6'8 or something?
I take your word for it on that.
Is that the cat from Georgia? Because Georgia, they got from Isner.
Oh, Isner? Isner?
It was Isner.
Yeah,
he's the tallest.
Oh, it was Isner?
Yeah.
He's the tallest.
I don't think it wasn't him. It wasn't him.
Was
him. He's like 6'9", 6'10", something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, G, let me ask you this. What's it going to take to get a brother to be a good tennis player now? We had our Tiger.
No.
We almost had one with Tiger.
He lost to Federer.
He wasn't black, but.
He lost to Federer.
In what round?
In the quarters.
This year?
Yeah, this year in the quarters.
But the last black guy I knew was James Blake.
I'm talking about somebody that's going to win.
Oh.
I mean, you know, dominate, win.
I mean, you're asking for too much.
Just like with golf, it's going to take access. Yeah. You gotta have access to these tennis courts.
You gotta have a racket.
Other than working.
Yeah.
Other than being the ball.
Yeah, you gotta take the basketball goals off the court.
You're gonna have to like hit the ball against the wall like late at night at that tennis court, and hopefully, you know, people don't call security.
Because you would think, okay, I'm not being, you know.
We understand.
We got fast twitch muscles is what they always say about black athletes.
Yeah, yeah.
And that court being able to move, and you would think if a brother got in it from a young age and started playing, he would,
you
know,
probably.
G just
hit the nail on the head, man. It's access.
Well, it wasn't much access for the Williams sisters. They had to clean up.
Oh, but no, see, daddy took them.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. When the brother, when the daddy going to wake up and say.
Well, yeah. On he's going to need a parent or something. Someone to invest in that.
Yeah,
so on his weekend with the dad.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm a bell.
Hey, but anyway, question number four. I know. Hey, G and Han, I know y'all going to like this. Lakers announced that Kobe will get his number retired, and he's deciding between 8 and 24. Z, we're going to start with you. Which number should he retire? Or which was the better Kobe?
I guess the better Kobe was... Which one did he score 81 in? Was it 24 or 8?
He was 8 when he hit 81.
That's where he was like his the best, like at his peak, like his prime Kobe, but... He was still more accomplished as 24.
Right.
And they're going to do both, so I don't.
Okay.
I think both of them going to Hall of Fame. 8 would have went in and 24 would have went in. So I have no problem with them retiring them both. Which one? I can't say because they're young. Not a hair color.
Not a hair color.
The Lakers already came out and said that they're retiring both jerseys.
Right.
Both numbers going to be in the Raptors. So you got to go with 8 Kobe.
I can't.
He was a killer.
That's what G was saying. Naughty was held back though because he played with Shaq.
Exactly.
Think about it. If Naughty had Kobe, Afro Kobe, dunking on backwards Kobe.
So when you with 24 without Shaq,
that was Jack Bauer. Jack Bauer was different.
When he was playing with Shaq, he was like in the top 5 in scoring. Kobe was playing with Shaq. He was averaging like 27, 28. If he didn't have Shaq and he got more of the shots, he probably would have averaged 38, 39.
Yeah.
I can't really distinguish which one I say should have been retired because I think both of them was must-see TV. If you wanted to watch TV, you wanted to watch the Lakers, and you watched them for Kobe. I mean, even when Shaq was there, Shaq was the most dominant player. But you look to see what Kobe was going to do when he got on the break or did something crazy. So, like I said, I don't know which one. I guess if I had to leave, you put a gun to my head, I'd say 24 because he did it by himself.
Right.
There was no Shaq.
Gotcha.
But.
Well, let me just go ahead and hand me. Let me, for all the listeners that's listening, let me go ahead and clear up what G Money and Hancock are really, really saying about this 8 and 24. Basically, they're saying, go ahead and for the cash 3 tonight, play 8-24 and you won't lose.
That is.
How about that? 8-24 with the cash 3.
But 8-24 or if it's something to work. Or 8-24, you want to add his Olympic number, play 10.
There we go. ID, last question. Magic and Snoop Dogg appeared on the Four Letter Network challenging owners to give Kaepernick a job. Would this even help the least bit that... And add that it was the worst quarterback play that we've seen in a long time in the NFL.
Like you said earlier, with the bad quarterback play just validates the point that he should have a job. Now, for Snoop and Magic to go on the Four Letter Network and advocate and basically put a challenge out there for owners to sign him, that's fine. I think Colin should have a job. I think everybody sees he should have a job. But I don't care if Colin have a job. My point is what Colin is talking about. Let's not get... I don't care about
that. Can you
hit
that bell for me one time? That's what I'm talking
about. I don't care about if Colin has a job. I care about what Colin is fighting for if that gets recognized. If we want to talk sports, we can talk sports. Should he have a job? Yes. Look at the quarterback play. What's the boy name in Torzine?
Tolzien.
He got benched.
Scott Tolzien.
He got
that is the worst quarterback play to ever happen.
Well, hold on. Savage was just as bad.
Yeah, he was.
McCown was bad.
But he threw 2 pick sixes on 9 passes.
Did we forget about the redhead devil?
Oh my God.
The Red Rocket.
They called him the water pistol.
Come on, man.
So, right, so listen.
Thank you, Snoop and Magic, because you got the platform, but you should have used it to throw a little subliminal something else up in.
I agree. All right, that's going to do it for our hot news. Hopefully, better quarterback play we will see, because right now, the NFL is stinking it up with some quarterback play. All right, now it's time to get to one of our favorite segments, and Mr. Hancock will step up to the mic. And ladies and gentlemen, please, we don't care about any other polls. We only care about our SRT Power 10.
SRT Power 10.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the second week of your Power 10, SRT Power 10 rankings of college football. This week, coming in at number 10 is the Wisconsin Badgers. At number 9, we have the Ohio State Buckeyes. At number 8, we have the Michigan Wolverines. At number 7, we had the Washington Huskies. At number 7, that was the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Sorry about that. At number 5, we had the USC Trojans. Number 4, the Penn State Nittany Lions. At number 3, we had the Clemson Tigers. At number 2, with a big upset this week, Oklahoma Sooners came in at number 2. And at number 1, again, rounding out the top 10 with the unanimous 50 first place votes, is the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Say it with your chest.
Again, Alabama coming in at number 1. Oklahoma, I think, made the biggest jump from number 5 to number 1. Number 2, I'm sorry. The biggest fall was obviously the Ohio State Buckeyes, dropping from number 2 all the way down to number 9. So, and entering this poll this week, did we have a new entry into the poll this week? We did. And I think that was Wisconsin coming in at number 9. Florida State fell out of the poll.
All right, so Oklahoma State, I think you mentioned they were number 7. I think they're number 6. Are they tied for 7?
They are now tied. They are number 6.
Okay, 6. All right. Shout out to my main man, Bo Peak. I see you. We're going to have to get him on the show one day. But
also, let me mention, getting some votes for our Power 10 was the Georgia Bulldogs. Came in, I think they came in like 11, right outside our top 10.
Right outside of but you know what it is. Yes, Kirby
that,
Smart.
That was a big win.
That was a big win.
Huge win.
No bias. That was huge win for Georgia.
I would say going to South Bend is big, but I don't know how good Notre Dame really is.
See,
I understand that. But you have to look at how many times have we looked for Georgia to take a step? And these type of wins just weren't in the program for them. They would fall on their face, and we'd say, well, they're still the same old Georgia. At least this was a win that they could say, okay, we're turning the corner.
And let's be honest.
And I agree. I don't know how good the Notre Dame is. Don't get me wrong. I agree with you.
But here's the thing. Regardless of talent, on-field talent and on paper, did you expect Georgia to go win that game?
I didn't expect them to win.
Thank you.
I said I felt good about the 6.5. I think Harris and I talked about it, and I did like it.
Now, the line was beautiful, of course, because we spoke about it last week on the show.
But exactly. I was afraid to say money line pick.
Exactly.
To be honest with you.
Exactly. And that's the thing. For Georgia to go up there and win that game,
right,
and them already being – nobody else really – and here's the thing I say. And everybody, if you don't know, go to my Facebook page at my government name and check it out. I put out my own top 10 every week. And the reason I put Georgia in all the way up at number 8 is because I really feel a win of that stature for Georgia and nobody else really stepping up in that 7, 8, 9, 10 spot to really have a great game. And I took Ohio State all the way out of my top 10. All right? That not only did they lose, but that was a bad loss at home.
I got something to verify that for you. And this is what we do on Sports Roundtable. The last 3 marquee games for Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, and Oklahoma. 44 offensive possessions. 1 sustained touchdown. 17 punts and 8 turnovers.
And can I say why that is?
Go ahead.
It's because Herman is not there anymore. The offense has struggled ever since he left.
Oh, it ain't no doubt. But
and that's the key to
and the
why
thing, and the thing
struggling.
About it is, we keep saying Urban Meyer.
Right.
We keep saying
right.
Urban Meyer. We keep saying JT Barrett.
That's why they getting
we
the
keep
benefit.
Saying they got athletes.
Well, they
17
that, come on.
Punts.
Talk
exactly.
to them.
Eight turnovers.
But they're trying to do something with JT Barrett that he's not able to do. JT Barrett is a manage the field type
quarterback. He might have just moved a wide receiver.
But ooh. I don't think that's it, though, Hart. I think what they got to do is run him more as a running quarterback.
Exactly.
That's what you got to do with him. Right. You got to use his legs. And what they're trying to do is use him as a passer. He can't throw the football. Remember the keys to the game last week, and not toot my own horn. What I said was make him pass the football because that's not his forte.
Yeah,
if you put him in position, what he does is keep the chains moving. Now he picks up that first down.
But think about this. Think they about make it, Urban
but you,
Meyer.
You said make him throw, make him and throw. That's what happened in the game. But go ahead.
But you got to think about Urban Meyer. When Urban Meyer's offense is successful, he has a running quarterback. You go to Tim Tebow. You go. He struggled with Chris Leaks when he first
go
got
to Utah.
Go to Alex Utah. Alex Smith. And listen, even when he came and he had Braxton Miller those early years in Ohio State when they were on probation and they went undefeated and couldn't go to the postseason, he was running the football. And then all of a sudden, JT Barrett breaks his ankle. He gets big arm Cordell Jones, who takes him the last three games. They win a national championship.
They still had Herman
and all
there
of a,
too.
Exactly. All of a sudden, they change their offense to a passing offense. It's no longer the Urban Meyer read option.
Right.
When they have a read option quarterback.
And see, that's where Herman's gone. I'm telling you, they're trying to bring in that guy. What's his name? Dabble?
No, that's our stop it. Brian Dabble is Alabama's offensive coordinator.
What's the other?
Thank you.
I'll probably take that back.
Right, don't get us mixed up.
But the other guy that got in from New England, I believe, is what is he came in from. He's offense coordinator there now at Ohio State.
We'll look him up. Then.
Yeah, G Money got him
right now. Yeah. But anyway, bringing him in, trying to put in a more of a passing style system. They do have some athletes out there, but all of them don't know the system.
Right.
And that's the key. That's the whole thing. You have to be able to, they don't know where they're running to. They don't know where they're going.
I agree.
And the offense is struggling.
Kevin Wilson.
Wilson.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our Power 10. We'll go ahead and take a commercial break. But when we get back, get our main man, Rain Man, will give us his picks of the week and see if we can win some fruit cups. I had a lot of people talking about fruit cups this past weekend. They say, I want to win some fruit cups and things of that nature. I say, oh, boy, we done got the world turned out. All right, man, you listen to Sports Roundtable. We'll be back with the Rain Man. Picks of the week, srtradio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
Tune in.
Now.
You can tune in to this radio station on any smartphone or tablet.
iPhone.
Android.
BlackBerry.
Nokia.
Samsung.
Windows phones.
Or whatever you have. Download the free TuneIn app from your phone or tablet's app store.
Tune in with music, sports, news, and comedy.
From over 70,000 radio stations around the world, including this Beasley Broadcast Group station. Check it out at TuneIn.com.
Or your app store.
Sports Roundtable.
106 million for Otto Porter. Are you out of your mind? Those are franchises that will never win. I don't care. You're not trying to win. Cannot be serious. 106 million for Otto Porter?
Well, man, who's crazier, please. Though? Who's crazier, though? The Nets or the Kings for offering him that? Or the Wizards that are going to match it?
The Wizards!
Yeah, the Wizards. The Wizards.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM. Ready.
Are you ready for some football? Are you ready to win some fruit cups?
Those who are tardy do not get fruit cups.
We'll get ready because it's time for the Rain Man's Picks of the Week.
Sports Roundtable back at you with the SRT crew. On the phone, newly retired, he's kicking back, chilling. Our main man, Rain Man. Slick Money, what's happening, babe?
Yeah, love, crew.
Slick, my
man.
Yeah, man. We're trying to get them fruit cups, man. You doing all right?
Yes, sir. I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Hey, man. We good, man. So, we want a lock this week, a upset, and somebody who's going to just blow the doors off. NFL, college, it don't even matter. Tell us what all you right, got.
Just tell me where you want to start at. Which one you want first?
Let's go with lock first. Let's go ahead and give them some first. Let's go lock it in.
Okay, this is kind of strange because we're going to the great state of Tennessee. I truly believe UCLA coming across the country will pound Memphis. And I'm a true Memphis fan. But I just think UCLA going to be too much for Memphis. The spread is -3, maybe 4. But I like UCLA to pound Memphis at least by a touchdown or more.
So that's UCLA -4, right?
That's correct.
That's the lock. My man said UCLA -4. And they playing Memphis.
Yeah, they come across the West Coast, but I just think UCLA got too many weapons for Memphis. Yeah. Memphis is getting better, but I think UCLA should beat them by a touchdown or more.
All right. Give us the pick of the blow the doors off. Who's just going to just blow it off this week?
Well, this to me is an easy one, but it might not be easy for anybody else. But I can't see the Patriots losing 2 games in a row. I think New England goes down to New Orleans and manhandle the Saints in the Dome. I like New England -7 to pound the New Orleans Saints down in New Orleans. I can't see Belichick losing 2 games in a row. They just weren't prepared against Kansas City. I'm not taking anything away from Kansas City. I think they're a good team. But the Patriots will be ready to play. But they will be ready to play this Sunday, 1 o'clock in New Orleans.
All right. Got the Pats -7. All right. For that upset.
Watch out now.
Who you got for that upset
now? State of Tennessee, baby.
I already know where you're going.
I'm going NCC. I'm going Vanderbilt +4 to knock off Kansas State at home.
There you go.
I'm with you.
Slick, I had it. Look, I got it on my notebook. Right here.
Vandy. I'm telling y'all now. Vandy got a good defense and a good coach. Play Vandy all this year, bro. They're going to be in all their games. I like the upset of the week. Vandy +4 at home. If they don't, I think they're going to win the game, but definitely +4.
Okay. All right. Do you have anything else that you can kind of give us as a bonus? You know, sometimes, you know, I know you have some in your pocket and you hold on to a couple of those picks. But is there anything you can spare that can give us an extra 4-teamer tonight?
Yeah, hey, you know I got plenty of tricks in my bag.
Okay.
I like Baltimore Ravens at home. I think Baltimore kind of dominate rookie quarterbacks. I think the boy Cleveland going to Baltimore. I think they punish him. I think Baltimore win. And my college extra pick, I think USC take care of Texas at home. I just think Texas ain't ready. I think USC is a good team. So I like USC at home. And I do like the bonus also is Baltimore Ravens to beat up on Cleveland Brown.
What's the number on the Baltimore?
The Baltimore Raven game, I think, is either 7 to 10. You know, varies from we're very between 9 and kickoff time.
Okay.
There is no line right now in the Texas and USC game.
Okay. All right. I got you. All right. Slick giving Baltimore. You say UNC, right?
I say USC to beat Texas.
USC.
Yeah, Southern Texas.
Gotcha. All right, my man. Hey, Slick, we appreciate it, man. How you enjoying retirement is the next question.
Oh, man, it feels good to just wake up and go to the bathroom and go back to sleep.
My man.
Hey, one thing for D-Wheel, Alabama should never kick off the season in college football no more. I truly believe it's a waste of time to put a team on the first game of the season as dominant as they are. I think they do not deserve to kick off any classic anymore.
Why? Because we win?
Yes, absolutely. We want to see a game where teams just get punished, man. They did like 3 or 4 years in a row. I just think
Listen. I don't care if you play us the first game or if you play us next to the last game. We're going to punish you.
Right. But I don't want to see that the first week of the season.
Hey, man, don't hate because we beautiful.
No, I'm not here, man. I think Bama's going to roll, bro. Congratulations. But, man, enjoy the show. You guys are doing a great job, and I appreciate it, man.
Hey, man, we'll talk to you next week, Slick. Appreciate it, Rain, man.
Slick.
Slick, buddy.
All right. Hey, there's your picks, man. UCLA -4 as a lock. So y'all lock that in. New England Patriots -7 is the blowout against New Orleans. And he picking Vandy +4 against Kansas State.
He said he liked that one outright.
I love Vandy.
Yeah, I love Vandy.
My man Tay, he loving Vandy too. Everybody on Vandy this week. Yeah, I hope it's not a Vandy.
That's scary.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
But yeah. I do love Vandy this week.
So let's go ahead and give our locks or the game that you would want to say since we got a couple of more minutes here. And I will start off by saying that actually I like Cal in the upset.
Like, what's that spread?
+4. I can't even remember who they playing though.
They playing the SEC team.
Yeah, they.
Oh, Ole Miss.
Ole Miss
look good.
It's gonna
the first
be a shootout,
weeks.
I believe.
Yeah,
I love the over in that for sure.
Yeah, I got a Ole Miss going across. I just like Cal in that upset, so it's a +4. So,
well, you got to understand, Ole Miss has only had 3 games in its history in the Western time zone.
Yeah. Wow, that's it. Han, what you got for this week?
I'm riding with Slick on my upset, and I love Vandy. That's what I had written for my upset, and that's who I'm going with. I'm taking Vandy with the upset, straight out win, money line. Vandy at home, +4.
Gotcha. D-Will, who you?
I'm going to tell y'all like this. I picked against them last week, and Penn State didn't cover, but to play Penn State and Oklahoma State back-to-back, it's going to be very hard for Pittsburgh. I like Oklahoma State on the road at 13.5 over Pittsburgh.
One.
Because, as we all know, Pittsburgh, it's hard for them to score. And yeah. Oklahoma State putting up 50. Yeah. So, I like that 13.5 against Pittsburgh, Oklahoma State over Pittsburgh.
Okay. G, what you got?
It's an anomaly whenever Tennessee beats Florida. Because I don't think it like ever happens. I never think it's going to happen. And I think it happened a couple of years ago or last year. But this year, I'm going to go with Florida. They are -4.5 at home against Tennessee. Woo! I think that's a lot for Florida to get their first win of the season.
Yeah, I like Florida this week, too.
Okay. Oh, speaking of college football,
I don't trust Florida as far as I can see.
Yeah, I don't trust
Tennessee.
I do think they're going to win like 3-0, though.
But listen, Tennessee didn't look bad last week.
Florida got some deep, man. They're going to score on defense.
You're right.
That's what I think it's going to be. That's
probably going to score on defense.
Special
team
defense. That's why I'm taking Florida.
Well, funny moment of the week, and I'm pretty sure everybody probably saw this on YouTube or Twitter or somewhere, but this had to be the funniest moment, one of the funniest moments. La Tech. Second and goal at the 7. Snaps the ball. The ball trickles all the way down 87 yards.
It was kicked.
It was everything.
Did I say
well, the guy said like it's like if I can't pick up the ball, I'm just going to kick it and like make it as big a loss as possible if I can't pick it up.
And they had a
the rules,
third and 93.
Third and goal.
Third and goal.
With 97. Yeah, so what play do you run?
Yeah, what's in your
– there ain't no first down.
You just run a dive, play a punt.
Oh, that had to be one of the funniest.
Well, 3rd and 93
what's up, Smooth?
The biggest yardage to gain in college football history.
Yes.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yeah,
3rd and 93. That's crazy. So that was one of the funny moments of the week. And to also continue this college football talk, we go get more into this in our roundtable discussion. But can we go ahead and say he's back, Action Jackson?
Yeah.
I don't know where he went because he's averaging 500 yards a game.
So, he never left.
That's
to
what
me.
I'm saying. Hey, what, and that's a Jay-Z line,
some bad
huh?
games down
that's
the
a Jay-Z
down
line,
the
huh?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
it was some bad games down the stretch last year. But I must admit, I thought they were going to really write him off this week. He's been said to be put back in the top, you know, in the lead for the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, he's a 5-1 odds.
Yeah, so I really thought that would be given to Baker Mayfield this week, though, to be honest with you, going into Ohio State.
And then he put the
he planted the flag.
Planted the flag.
Oh, yeah. He ain't planting nothing.
But Jackson, he tried to plant the flag. Then he realized it's a rubber field.
It's AstroTurf.
So, he's back. We will talk more about that. But that is crazy. All right, so now let's really get into some of our performers and lack thereof. It's time for our Ballers and Busters.
Other radio shows may have their players of the week, but at the Sports Roundtable, we have our Ballers.
Ballin'.
And our Busters.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
Ballers and Busters. Sponsored by Real Talk Tees. Got a t-shirt for every mood. D-Will, what can they get that t-shirt from?
Find us on Instagram @_RealTalkTees. That's @_RealTalkTees. Or you can check out the online store @RealTalkTees.BigCartel.com.
All right, my baller this week goes to Wisconsin freshman running back Jonathan Taylor. 223 yards, 3 touchdowns as a freshman. The 15th player since 2000 to gain over 220 yards. So we go look forward to Mr. Taylor over the next couple of years because he is running the ball. All right, Han, give me your baller.
My baller is the aforementioned Baker Mayfield. Baker came out and made a statement against Ohio State.
He did.
I don't think he liked anybody singing on his field last year.
Mm.
And he came out this week against a team that pretty much has been given the benefit of the doubt for the last 3 years when it comes to getting them into the playoff. So I think the benefit of the doubt has been removed for this year anyway. Baker's stats, he was 27 for 35 for 386 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Mm.
And, you know, using his legs to keep drives alive, making athletic plays, he dominated the game, actually. Ohio State really had no answers for him. Went out of the game with some minor injuries, came back in, and just kept it moving. So, for me, my baller for the week, Baker Mayfield of the Oklahoma Sooners.
Good deal. G, who you got for your baller this week?
All right, this is from the NFL ranks. I'm going to give it to the Kansas City Chiefs offense, specifically Andy Reid, for putting up 537 yards of total offense against the defending champion Patriots on their way to 42 points, and also by having the nerve to run the triple option in the NFL.
All right, D. Weezy, who you got for your baller?
I'm staying at home. Okay. And it has to be the man, the one and only, Jalen Hurts. We hear a lot of complaining about him not being able to throw the ball down the field. But when you can rush the ball like this man can, he put up 157 yards rushing with 2 touchdowns this weekend against Fresno State. And everybody said it was Fresno. We should have opened it up and saw what we looked like in the passing game where we can try new stuff against a lesser defense. Why do that when you got feet like this man? Jalen Hurts, my ball of the week, 2 touchdowns on the ground. Why throw it? You can run it.
All right. And making honorable mention is the Clemson Tigers defense with 11 sacks against the Auburn Tigers. 11 sacks. They front 7. The front 4.
Whew. I'm going to give them credit. They're good. But Jared Stidham's bad. Flat play calling in Auburn is bad. So, you got to give them credit where credit is due, but you also got to get blame where blame is at. And it's a lot to be blamed on Jared Stidham and that Auburn offense.
All right, now let's go to the busters, bust of the week. My bust of the week is UNC defense. I think it was said, he's not going to beat us. A quote from one of the players for UNC. And Action Jackson went on to throw for 339 yards. Lamar Jackson, that is, if y'all don't know who Action is. And he rushed for 132 yards, putting up over 500 yards total by himself. And he has a primetime game this week to further his Action Jackson race to the Heisman once again. So the UNC defense, you are my buster of this week. All right, Han.
All right. My buster goes, and I won't go to quarterbacks in their first year or, you know, college players. My buster this week has to go to Carson Palmer. Mm. Carson Palmer was horrible this week against the Detroit Lions. Palmer's stats, what do you have? 27 for 48, three interceptions, did throw one touchdown, had a passer rating of 53.2, which is not very good. And this is a quarterback that I was hearing, oh, they're going to turn the corner. This is his year that he's going to have Fitzgerald, and they might ride off into the sunset. Not so much.
He's getting close to 40.
Yeah, well, he's done. Carson Palmer, my bust of the week.
All right, G, who you got for your bust tonight?
All right, this is another team award for me. It is the Houston Texans as a staff, a label, and a crew. For one, their offensive line is awful. They gave up 10 sacks against Jacksonville. Four of them came from Calais Campbell, their Jacksonville's newest addition, with four sacks. And why it's an issue is because they have Dwayne Brown is still holding out. He's their left tackle. So they just had to throw some guy in there. Who knows who any team's backup left tackle is. And also, they threw in Deshaun Watson into where he shouldn't be starting, right. But he did lead them to a touchdown. Okay. So that's the only bright spot from Houston on that during that game. And they also have all three of their tight ends on the roster are in the concussion protocol. Oh, so they don't have a healthy tight end, and they play tomorrow.
That's a shame.
That's crazy.
That's a shame.
All right, D-Will, who's your buster for this week?
Scott Tolzien. I'm telling you, I'm a pound on this, and I'm a pound on this, and I'm a pound on this. Scott Tolzien was 9 for 18, 128 yards, two interceptions, both pick sixes.
Wow.
Scott Tolzien had a quarterback rating of 33.8.
That high.
Scott Tolzien also fumbled the football. Scott Tolzien has a job and Colin Kaepernick doesn't. And we just watched Scott Tolzien go 9 for 18, 128 yards, two pick sixes, and a fumble, sacked four times.
But D-Will, he's been in the NFL now for what, seven years?
He's stealing money.
That's what I'm saying. Stiffs.
The only reason why Jacoby Brissett didn't start is because he'd only been on the team for like a week.
A week. Right. They signed, and he still had to play. And rumors are that Jacoby Brissett will be the starting quarterback this week.
Yeah. They say he's sleeping with the playbook.
He can sleep with the playbook wife.
He can't do any worse.
No, well, honestly, he can't. And let's just give a little background on Jacoby Brissett. He did play well last year in his little mop-up duty for the New England.
Well, he started the game in one last year.
Started two games in the beginning of the season.
When
Tom Brady was suspended the first four games of the season, Jacoby Brissett got him two starts and won a game. So, and that started that Bill Belichick can win with anybody. That second game, we saw who Jacoby Brissett was. Okay?
That's like a bad thumb, though. On the throwing hand.
So now we're giving excuses for a bad thumb. Jacoby Brissett is not a good quarterback. Colin Kaepernick is better than Jacoby Brissett. That's all I'm going to say. And if this man can't get a tryout for the worst team in the NFL this year, Indianapolis Colts, and, okay.
Well, it just makes
I'm going to tell you why I said this. I'm going to tell y'all why I'm going here. Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, was pulled over for a DUI, $20,000 cash in the car, and drugs, cocaine being one of them. But Colin Kaepernick don't have a job? I think he needs to sign Colin Kaepernick for that reason.
Hello?
Not gonna happen.
Well, it's clear that it's not a... That with... If Colin Kaepernick is better than these quarterbacks that have been playing, it's clearly not about football, even though people have been trying to say, oh, he's not that good anymore. Point it's clearly not about that.
Point taken. Yeah. Our honorable mention in our buses of the week is JT Barrett. 19 for 35. No touchdowns. One interception. And he only rushed for 66 yards.
Where's the kid Dobbins? He was supposed to be the next coming of Ezekiel Elliott.
Like I said, stack the box. You can't run against a stacked box.
Thank you.
Doesn't matter. It's not going to happen. So yeah. Stack the box. Make them put the ball in the air. And Ohio State's playing with one hand tied behind their back.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, Mason Rudolph. Baker Mayfield. Donald. Sam showed up
Sam
this week.
Sam Donald showed up.
Yeah, he had a better game.
He showed up this week.
That's the Donald I was talking about to begin the year. And they mopped the floor with Stanford. It wasn't as close as the score was.
Yeah,
they scored whenever they wanted to. They did whatever they wanted to. They looked like SC this past week.
Exactly.
Now, I don't know if they'll continue it because – honestly, a little foreshadowing, I like Texas this week. Not to win.
You like the line.
Exactly, because in college football, teams change week to week.
Oh, ain't no doubt.
And that's what happens is they're coming off a big win. Same with Oklahoma. Watch them this week.
But if Sam Darnold is the quarterback that we say he is, potential number one pick in the draft, blase, blase, blah. And also for the same thing you mentioned, Oklahoma, if Baker Mayfield is the player that he said he is, these quarterbacks should not allow their teams to have letdowns.
They're going to let down.
If they have a letdown, that means these quarterbacks are not who we say they are.
I just think they're kids.
Yeah.
I just think they're kids. I think – and they. It,
Baker Mayfield, I'm sorry, is not a kid. Baker Mayfield, a grown man. He's 23 years old.
You're right. He's
been in college for 13 years.
He's a veteran college quarterback.
Exactly. Veteran.
But he's not the only person on his team. You're going to have mental lapse from other people. I'm telling you, we see it every year, though, G. I mean, we see it every year. How many times we look at a game and say, this team pounded this team?
Yeah, I agree.
And then the next week they come out and they don't even look like the same team.
Yeah, I agree. So... Those
Oklahoma should not let down, but I agree.
This is the anniversary. Well, not anniversary, but they're playing it up as the game of Texas
from
USC.
05.
Right. And I'm telling you, if Herman doesn't have anything else circled, this week is the one he wants to show that he can coach.
They're just not good.
With USC hyping up this game, they're saying that they are 4-0 against Texas.
Exactly.
Because that one game technically doesn't count in the record books.
So they say they've never lost to Texas.
But they lost the national championship.
They say they don't count, though.
But that season.
That national championship is the only thing that does count.
That whole season.
They came out this week saying, well, we never lost to them.
That's a troll.
That's trolling. That is
finest. Texas has problems taking up
trolling,
the East
trolling for coaches and everybody worked out a lot. What happened with New York Giants coach? Tell me who's going to be playing cornerback for the Cowboys. you can't run. All of them running like when they know where to run.
Gonna like this. They ain't going to like this. What about Florida State president? Talking about we going to beat Bama bad this weekend.
And that's what I'm saying. So you can't – all that bulletin board material, you don't give them stuff to play
for. Nah, you don't give us nothing to play with.
Nobody.
No, us.
Nobody. Okay,
you can continue.
So the quarterback that I mentioned, Mason, Donald, what's my other kid?
For who?
Jackson, Rosen.
Baker Mayfield.
Rosen's up there right now because of the comeback with Texas
A&M. And Action Jackson. So we got five of top quarterbacks should be in the Heisman race along with Barkley. Agreed?
Yeah.
Who's playing the best out of the five quarterbacks right now? I know it's early.
In the two-game sample size, you got to say Baker Mayfield because he has the biggest win. On the road at Ohio State at night, that's the biggest win. So you got to say – and he played well in the game. All right, he put up good numbers. Like
387.
Hans said it earlier. That was his baller of the week. So you got to understand, Baker May. You have to say him now because of the win.
That's why I thought he would be the front runner right now.
Exactly, but Rosen and Lamar Jackson. Rosen, you got to put him up there. But I'm not saying they consider him a top three quarterback coming out into the draft. Though? The Texas A&M game.
No, yeah. Did you see
it? I watched it, yes.
He had two throws that
went through. They were interceptions. And
I mean, balloon ball.
Exactly. I just throw it up. And the same thing that Fromm is doing at Georgia. He just throws it up and hopes somebody come down with it. Continue. that was for Dez.
Dez.
I had to come back, baby.
He listened to it. All right, so what do we think about the way if Louisville upsets Clemson, they jump way high in this top 10, and now Louisville will be a viable contender in the ACC if this happens. Do you trust Kelly Bryant in Clemson more than you would against Lamar Jackson?
I don't quite trust Kelly Bryant yet. I think he's an athletic quarterback. I'm not really sold on his passing game. He's kept the chains moving. If you watch the game, he used his legs a lot to really kind of offset the defense against Auburn and was able to pull the game out using his legs. He's going to eventually have to come up and throw the football. And we'll see what happens when they make him put him in passing situations. We'll see what happens. But I think the best quarterback on the field, as we'll see Saturday, will be Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, can he contend with that front that Clemson is going to throw at him? Because Clemson's front, I know D. Will kind of gives plays with a grain of salt. They got maybe four or five NFL players on that front line. Mm-hmm. And they keep graduating them to the NFL. If you look up and down, a lot of their defenders have gone on to play the next
especially
level.
The last 2 years.
Yeah, so I got to give Dabo that. His recruiting has been awesome down there. But the thing about an athletic quarterback, if you get out of your rush lanes, especially with a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, he's going to hit his head on the goalpost.
All day. and I'm going to tell you, and I agree, Lamar Jackson, here's what I think about the game. If they can contain, they're not going to stop Lamar Jackson. He's going to break a run or two. But if they can contain him consistently for four quarters, Clemson has a very good chance to win the game. But if it turns into a shootout, they have no shot to win the game because Lamar Jackson, not only is he running for 200 yards a game, he is accurate.
Exactly.
He is a very pinpoint passer, especially when they start running that read option and they can play action off of that read option. It gets really bad for him.
To your point, I remember at a point last year, you and I were debating whether he was an NFL quarterback. And I said no at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing his progressions, how he's throwing the football now, it still has to be the right fit with a pro team that's going to maximize what he does. But I can see him now being drafted as a quarterback.
Oh, without a doubt.
I can see it. But the thing about it, like we were talking about, I think Clemson is going to have to bring some people down in the box to help contain him.
Oh, they're going to have to. They're going to have to play with six or seven.
And with that, his arm, he has to hurt them when he has his chances. Mm-hmm. But one thing we do know about Petrino, he can coach offense.
And here's the thing.
Yeah. And he can develop quarterbacks.
And that's the thing I was going to say.
He can coach offense. So he's going to get some one-on-one matches.
The development of Lamar Jackson is Bobby Petrino.
No doubt
His NFL success is going to be getting a coordinator like a Bobby Petrino, who is a quarterback guru who can take his skills and work them into their offense.
Exactly. Yeah. Think about what he would have done with Mike Vick. Remember, he was coming with Vick.
Yeah, I remember.
He was coming with Vick.
That's why he came.
Yeah, and that's why he came. Yeah. All right, man, that's going to end the first hour of the show. Thanks for tuning in for that first hour. When we come back, we got our roundtable discussion. We go discuss the Falcons, the Bulldogs, and why in the world is AP and Sean Payton staring each other down? Boy, we're going to have a lot to talk about. You listen to Sports Roundtable and the SRTRadio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE. AM 1100.
Worldwide Radio Network.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
What's up, Sports Roundtable listeners? This is Greg, a.k.a. G-Money, a.k.a. the man behind the glass for the SRT crew. Now, do you have a podcast or radio show you want to take to the next level? Are you a DJ looking for that special voice for your drops during your set? Are you looking for some narration for that big presentation? Do all of these apply, but you're on a budget? Well, come see me at Fiverr.com, F-I-V-E-R-R.com. I can do all of these and more, just starting at $5. That's it, $5. I know you got $5. So stop by Fiverr.com/Greg Hurd. That's G-R-E-G-H-U-R-D. Check out my demo and hit me up with an order so we can make that presentation, that pod, that drop really pop. Who knows? Maybe I can help you make a better show than Sports Roundtable. But don't tell the crew I said that, okay? Just that's what it is. Fiverr.com/Greg Hurd. Hit me up and I hope to hear from you soon.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Sports Roundtable.
You can go back to the Jesse Owens. Jesse Owens had to deal with a lot. But guess what? He had an internet. Only people that talked about him was the people that had a voice. You see what I'm saying?
And
now?
And a noose.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
Yeah. Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T crew.
Whoa.
S-R-T. They got that realness flowing in their DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They went strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah!
Sports Roundtable back. Hour number two. H.O. Hancock, sports superhero. D-Wheel, the coach. T-Money behind the glass. The SRT crew is in full effect. Thanks for tuning in to the second hour of the show. The first hour recap. We had our Power 10. Also had that hot news. Slick Money called in and gave his picks. He say look out for UCLA this week. That's his lock of the week. And we gave out.
Vander was upset.
Ballers and Busters. Some folks balled out. But it was some busters out there this week as well. As you well know. Coming up, get our sports roundtable discussion, and we go discuss is Hancock mentioned Tom Brady being 40. Maybe it's
listen, I saw an interview with Tom Brady yesterday on E60. And Tom Brady says his plan from the beginning was to play to his mid-40s. And he said out of his mouth, I want to play at least till I'm 45. That's another 5 seasons. And with him in, with the conditioning that he's in and the position that he plays and the lack of punishment that he's able to take, why not?
Yeah.
He looked as good as ever at 39.
I feel what you're saying. But the thing is with him, I didn't see the arm talent like normally. The ball was kind of hanging when he was throwing it this past week. And he wasn't able to drive the ball down the field. Also, your weapons. You look at Gronk. Gronk doesn't look like Gronk anymore.
He does. He's
and dead. Edelman is out for the year. See, those two pieces, if you look at it, they talk about how Brady is Brady. But when Gronk has been out, there was always Edelman. When somebody else was out, there was always Edelman. Edelman was
Amendola.
That guy. Yeah. Edelman was always the constant. Now he's not there. And I think that's going to really be a problem. That and Father Time, man. When you look at Brady, the last two Super Bowls, let's be honest. The reason he's looked upon as the greatest quarterback of all time right now is because he won the five Super Bowls or whatever, right? But if we look at those two Super Bowls, the Falcons gave him one, and Seattle gave him one. Seattle runs the ball in with beast mode. They pretty much win the Super Bowl. It's over. If the Falcons run the football, they win. So Brady then has two losses in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So that's how
they don't have four. About four overall.
Right. He's got four or five overall.
Yeah, five.
He'll have if he lost those two, he would have four. He lost to the Giants twice.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, you look at that and you say, it's his kingdom teeters on two situations that very easily could have gone the other way.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, you really think about it.
Hey, but hey, listen. If we can't play the if was
no,
if game.
But what I'm driving the point to say is that I think he's closer to the end of his career than people really realize. That's not to say that he won the game.
He got five Super
Bowls. You can't
yeah,
knock
yeah,
him.
Ain't no
he
doubt.
Got him.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I think those Super Bowls really show that the Falcons were hitting him. Anytime he gets touched, it's a problem.
Oh, and we've known. What's the key phrase with Brady? Get him off his spot.
Get him off his spot.
You get him off his
you
spot.
Start
you got
touching
it.
Brady. He's a different. And you can see it's a little chink in the armor. What about going across the line of scrimmage, throwing the ball because of the panic? You can see the panic in his face.
That might be concussions.
No, that's
ain't that what his wife said?
I'm telling you. I watch with Edelman not being there this year. We'll see this week. Well, let's just watch. Defense is not as dominant as it has been. And a few little lesser offensive pieces. Let's see what happens.
I understand. They might take a step back this season because of personnel issues. They might take a step back this season. But my thing is, as he said, him being 40, I see him playing until he's 45. If they can rebuild and put those pieces around him, I can still see him being the Tom Brady that we've seen going.
Think about this, though, and this last one I'm saying. Think about, we remember when Peyton Manning threw all those touchdowns the year before he hit the wall.
Yeah, he hit the skirt.
He just hit the wall. I mean, he just looked horrible. Mm-hmm. It can happen quick.
Yeah, because, it can.
Yeah. The climb is slow, but the fall is fast.
In any sport.
Yeah.
In any sport.
In any sport. Tony Parker, look at him.
Ooh, don't talk
we
about
can,
it.
We can really go down the line on that.
Hey, let's go. Let's not do it.
Now we finish, because we about to talk about what now. Z, let's go ahead and get into this roundtable discussion, because it's one of them in here, too.
The roundtable discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Boy, Z brought my song back.
Woo! Oh, I thought we retired. Oh, man.
Panda is retired.
Okay. This is next. We need to put out a retired. Yeah.
Oh.
Drop top.
There you go. Sports Roundtable Discussion sponsored by Jay's Used Cars. If you're looking for a new, used, or a pre-owned car, please go over to our friends at Jay's Used Cars. 3820 Lawrenceville Highway, Tucker, Georgia. Not Lawrenceville. Tucker, Georgia, 384. Go to jaysusedcars.com for the inventory. And mention Sports Roundtable SRT. You get a 10% discount.
Facts.
On your down payment. All right, let's go local first. Let's talk about the Falcons going up to Chicago and screeching out a win.
Mm-hmm. Taking care of business.
On the road. The Bears made the Falcons play patient. The defense for the Bears is much better than many people thought. And maybe they found them another running back. Yeah. You know, Cohen. So, grading the Falcons' win this week, I would give it a B-, only because they went on the road and took care of business. And the defense showed up at the time he needed to show up, where getting a sack in a game was something that we prayed for. But getting a sack to end the game, big ups.
Yeah.
For an unknown guy that we possibly didn't even think would even be.
Come on, man. Y'all gave Butch Reed no love.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. You don't even expect him to be in the game on third down or fourth down. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So big ups to the Falcons on that. The defense came through. I give him a B minus hand. What you got on the Falcons?
I'm gonna go a little bit lower than that.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with a C minus. Mm. And the reason I go C minus is because I think they're in flux on offense.
Okay.
And the reason I think they're in flux on offense is one of the reasons that I gave him C minus. You lost the offense coordinator.
Right.
We saw how long it took for Matt Ryan and Shanahan to get on the same page. Once they did, the offense clicked beautifully. Now you have an OC coming in who really has to adjust to NFL football.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has to adjust to men instead of kids. So I think that's a transition that they might not be able to get right. And they could prove me wrong this week against Green Bay. But my honest opinion, I think it's going to take a while for that to mesh.
Okay.
The other thing is the defense and playing against a team like the Bears, I think you have to impose your will against teams like that.
Right.
And with, you know, we talk about teams that are defensive, are made in the coach, in the image of the head coach.
Right, right.
The image of the Falcons, which really is, kind of flips to 180 when we talk about how much offense that the Falcons showed last year. The head coach hangs his coat up on defense.
Right.
His thing, he's a defensive-minded coach. Mm-hmm. And for the Bears to come within one possession, really, you know, to upset, you had a drop pass, two drop passes prior to the sack,
mm-hmm.
where the game, they could have let this one get away.
Right.
So I give them a C-minus because I think you got to go up to Chicago and put them away. But like you said, Chicago put everything in their basket to beat them because now you're the hunted. That's the thing we got to see.
Yeah, the whole offseason.
But the Falcons are the hunted now.
Yeah.
Last year, they kept building, and before people knew it, they were like, man, the Falcons pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, you kept saying, oh, they're going to lose, and they just kept winning. And they made people respect them by continuing to win. And before you knew it, they win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. This year, not so much. People are going to be saying, circle that one right there for the red and black. They coming here. You see what I'm saying? Circle them. They the defending NFC champions.
I agree.
So, and then this week will be a test because Green Bay got killed here last year.
Yeah.
Well, and you best
twice.
Believe. Yeah. But
they got beat twice.
They got their brains beat in.
Yeah,
last
well, yeah.
Year.
Exactly.
So, believe me, they're coming here on a mission. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
But I'm worried about the offense. The
line.
Continuity.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you.
That's what I'm worried about with OC.
I'm not going to go that low. C minus, I think, is a little low. They didn't play that bad. You still got to understand that is a road game in week one in Chicago. Any road win in the NFL is a good win.
It's a good win. Mm-hmm.
All right. So
I didn't give them an F.
I understand. They passed, but I'm gonna give them a B minus.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna give them a B minus. And the reason I give them a B minus and not a B, Wes Schweitzer got whooped.
Yes.
In the off season, it was between the big talk was who was gonna start at right guard. And it was a battle between Wes Schweitzer and Ben Garland. And Wes Schweitzer, the younger guy, came through in the end and won the position. He played decent in week one, okay? He got beat up. I mean, that was week one. He played decent in the preseason to win the job. He got beat up like this past Sunday in Chicago, all right? So my thing is, and with that happening, the running game struggled. And if Atlanta is not able to run the ball to be able to do all the other things they do in the passing game, they're going to struggle. And that right guard is an issue. If they can't solidify that offensive line and get that position solidified, because Khalil Mack coming in last year solidified the offensive line. Okay. Mm-hmm. He is able to make Alex Mack came in last year and solidified the offensive line. And so he's able to make a lot of the calls and do a lot of the things. But if his right-hand man, his wingman, is unable to hold up and he has to compensate and try to help him out, they're going to struggle in the offensive line. If that running game struggles, we're going to see the Falcons' offensive game struggle. But that defense showed up. When you get somebody and
– We killed him.
Vic Beasley got another sack.
All right. He had four and all.
And listen, 2 years ago, they had 19 sacks. They were last in the NFL. Last year, Vic Beasley had 15 on his own.
Right.
This year, they already got 4 in week 1 and 2 by an unknown Brooks Reed. Okay? So, my and he's still – and the leading sack getter still got a sack.
Yeah.
So, if that defense can continue to progress, they still look a little shaky on the back end. Linebackers aren't what we thought they were going to be, and they can still improve. But I'm telling you, if they can continue to put pressure on the quarterback like that, that's gonna help out the linebackers, and it's going to also help out the secondary.
All right, G, what'd you get Falcons grade?
I give them a C. They can play better based on our win. They can play better. Because it seemed like the Bears, I don't know if it's, okay, we're playing the Falcons. They're defending NFC champs. The Falcons are going to get everybody's best shot this year, like you were saying. And I feel like if the Bears had a better quarterback, they might have won the game.
The drop pass in the 5-yard line.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you, he got scared. He thought he was gonna get his head taken off. That's why he dropped that ball.
But that's what them hits are for. That's yes. defense. Yes.
Hey, listen, a defensive back's job is to separate man from ball. All right, and that's exact. And he knew he was going to get separated from the ball, so he just dropped it.
So he said C.
All right, let's move to the Georgia Bulldogs goes up to South Bend, and we stand local here. Georgia Bulldog goes up to South Bend, and could be their most signature win in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Signature win. Hancock, your thoughts on the Bulldogs going up to South Bend, doing their job, getting that win in South Bend. We don't really know what Notre Dame holds, but we do know what Touchdown Jesus can do.
Jesus has passed.
Winning at a place that has a tradition of a Notre Dame is big. I don't care what it is. It's a big win. Had a lot of people, fans go up there, and that's what helps build a program. That win now helps Kirby in recruiting as long as he keeps that momentum going.
Right, right.
And it's all about recruiting. It's about getting the right people in there and coaching them up. And they're still, I mean, they made some plays down the stretch. I thought when they fell behind that last time, I thought, well, here we go, Georgia's going to lose them. But they showed some resiliency. My boy, young kid that I coached in basketball, came up with the key sack.
Hey.
Trying to get him on the show with Bellamy.
Okay.
He made the big sack to end the game, came up with the strip sack or whatever. So we'll see if we can get him on.
We need that stunting sound. Ow! Ah,
exactly.
Yeah, it was a big win. I'm happy to see Georgia do that.
All right, D. Will, you talked about this earlier. Give us a little more speak on it as far as the big win that Georgia did up in Notre Dame.
Like you say, man, you going in, you expect Georgia to lose that game. You expect for them to play well. You expect for them to be in the game. But just from past experiences, you don't expect Georgia to win that game, especially coming off last year and how Kirby Smart finished out a lot of big games. But for them to go up there and beat Notre Dame, granted, Notre Dame is not the Notre Dame of 2012 when they played Alabama in the national championship. They're not that squad, but they're still Notre Dame. And like you say, the mystique of being in South Bend, like Han mentioned last week, it's in the middle of nowhere. You got Touchdown Jesus. You got some of the most loyal fans. They still on NBC by themselves.
Right.
Okay. So you still have and it was a night game, you know. So, you know, you expect those yellow flags to go in the way of those gold helmets. But Georgia was able to come in there and, like you say, show resiliency. Now, question is, do we have a quarterback controversy?
All right? No wonder.
Listen, because we understand that Jacob Eason won the job in offseason. All right? That is what's known. But
some say it was a little closer than
It was very close because it went down to the last week before he announced who was starting.
Right.
So my thing is, Fromm has won. He won in Notre Dame. You got to give it. He went in there. He was the starting quarterback. He played the entire game and won the game. But does he give Georgia the best chance to win going forward? In my opinion, I say no. I still think Jacob Eason is the best for them to win because he's experienced. He has the ups and downs of last year, and he showed promise. And if you watch Fromm play, he's throwing up a lot of jump balls. And what's the kid number 6? I don't have him roster.
He made a big play.
He's just he's going up and he's just taking the ball. If you watch last ball. Exactly all 50-50 balls, number six, and G can probably pull it up from he's coming down with that ball. All right. So if Fromm can continue to just throw it up and you just let's just get lucky, we're just gonna throw it up every time. But if you watch Jacob Eason, he gives him the best chance to win because you see with Fromm, they're able to stack the box. You're not seeing a lot out of Sony Michel. And I'm not sure about y'all, but Nick Chubb don't look like Nick Chubb.
No, he don't. I said that last week.
I watched him run a little bit. He looked better last year.
He looked better last year.
Like he's not, maybe he's just trying to count his money.
If that's the fact, he shouldn't have came back because he could have been a second round pick this year in the draft.
Well, we'll see.
The receiver you're talking about is Javon Wims, six.
He's going up and getting it.
6'4", 215.
They're just throwing it up to him. That's all Fromm is doing.
Well, Goodwin made a heck of a catch in the end zone.
That was probably one of the best catches.
And the referee, of course, mistakenly called it out of bounds.
We better be glad it's instant replay. Now.
Hey, glad it's instant replay.
Exactly. Oh, touchdown, Jesus had him.
They had him.
Touchdown, Jesus had him out.
Yeah, he did.
And to piggyback on what D. Will was talking about, Jake from State Farm.
Yeah.
Somebody said they went from the bottom
to the top.
Now we're here.
Yeah! We got bars.
We got bars.
All right, man. Let's go into the NFL with this one. 9 snaps, 6 carries, and not even over 20 yards, and a stare down at the Colts. Said, run the ball. G, your thoughts on Adrian Peterson and Sean Payton on the sideline. Are we not making a big deal out of it? Or are we making too much of a big deal out of what's going on with the Saints and Adrian Peterson?
I don't think it's a big deal.
Okay.
According to Adrian Peterson after the game, he's like, I said we should run this play and we ran it. And that was it. But he did only get 6 carries. I'm not sure what he may have been expecting by coming to New Orleans in this offense.
I'm going to tell you, Adrian Peterson was watching too much of the Four Letter Network. He was trying to make a big deal out of his returning to Minnesota. He thought that Sean Payton was going to play into it. This is going to be personal between Adrian Peterson and the Minnesota Vikings. Sean Payton was like, bro, I'm trying to win the game. You old. I ain't finna give you the ball that much.
Didn't look like you trying to win to me. That man had 9 yards on his first cap.
You right.
And you stopped giving him the football.
I'm sorry.
I don't understand that. And I don't understand. Well, I do understand Adrian Peterson had to go there because that's where the most money was. Mm-hmm. Nobody else was checking for him. That's the reason he's in New Orleans. But, I mean, I would at least have expected Sean Payton to say, this is 1 of 16. You back in your house.
And you know he's going to run hard.
Exactly. Give him the rock. At least right. Give him the rock. You lost bad by throwing.
But it's hard to expect that from Sean Payton when that's not his philosophy on offense.
I agree. It's never been.
It's him and it's finna be a breeze. Yeah. You know?
But I think if they're really going to do anything, I think they need to shop him to Arizona or New York right now. Mm. Because New York has real running back problems.
New York.
Giants. And when we look at Arizona with
David Johnson
out for the next maybe they're
like
talking about
season.
7 8 weeks.
The coach said like the holidays. I don't know if that's Thanksgiving or Christmas.
I mean, if I'm Adrian Peterson, I'm with my agent saying, look, call Arizona tonight.
The Cardinals did just re-sign Chris Johnson. Yeah. They brought him back. But they can still use
But see, Chris Johnson was all speed.
Yeah.
At least
AD. He had his run, though. He was able to run between the tackles in his time, but that time is
past. He's passed. Yeah. I don't think his 4-2 is there anymore.
Yeah. Adrian Peterson had 6 carries, 18 yards, 3 yards a carry. Longest, 9 yards.
The first carry of the game went 9. And then just really didn't use him anymore.
So on the other side, his replacement,
Kamara.
No, on the other side.
Oh, you're talking about on the other side of the team.
Yeah. Minnesota Dalvin Cook rushed for over 100 yards, 22 carries. And many thought that maybe McKinney or Murray would get a lot of those carries, but the the rookie, separated himself.
He looked good. Hey, you know, I liked him. He out of Florida State.
Yeah.
Did you see his high school, all the people that came out of his high school?
Mm. It's
Dalvin
like,
Cook, Najee Davenport, Devontae Freeman himself.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's one other back. All of them went to the
all NFL. Them Florida
yeah,
boys.
Yeah.
Same high school.
All them Florida boys.
And I'm going to tell you, the rookie running back showed up well in week one. Dalvin Cook and also Leonard Fournette.
Leonard Fournette.
Both of them going over 100 yards in their first game.
McCaffrey didn't do bad.
Jacksonville real?
No.
That defense is sick. Man.
But listen, we still talking.
I got to give it another week.
But listen, Blake Bortles is still the quarterback.
But one thing I looked at earlier, but I never brought it up. Tom Coughlin is over the organization.
Yeah, he's running football operations.
And he puts his handprint on there. You're going to run the football and play tough defense, which is a recipe for being
success.
A good football team.
Yeah, I agree.
For success.
All right, slow start in the NFL week. Yeah, Brady didn't even throw a touchdown pass. Rodgers didn't get over 300 yards. Sierra husband didn't look too good.
Ooh. Oh, their offense is bad.
Yeah. They are.
Well, it's the offensive line.
Yeah. I mean,
they spent the least money on the offensive line. And they're trying to convert people from defensive line. Like, I've heard this a lot. Tom Cable, the offensive line coach, just give him five big dudes, and he could turn that into an offensive line. No, that doesn't work anymore.
Gee, their best offensive lineman was a basketball player, Fant, and he's out.
Yeah.
They did bring in Luke Jokel, who was the second overall pick 3 years ago.
Right, out of Texas A&M.
There's a reason why he's on another team right now.
Exactly. But hold on, let me finish this. Simeon, Alex Smith, Sam Bradford stole the weekend.
Yeah.
Is it, my question is, are we really just, I mean, is it a big deal?
Is it just week one?
Okay,
no, name the guys you called again.
Say it again.
Name the guys you called again.
The first one or the second?
One at a time.
The
ones that's good. You had good weeks.
Trevor Siemian.
Okay, put one of these bad quarterbacks we talk about behind the Denver Broncos line with their defense.
Okay.
Okay, keep going.
Alex Smith.
Put anybody with Kansas City right now. With all the toys he got and everything.
Sam Bradford.
Bradford got a good defense and got a decent
offensive line.
He
played well, though. Let's not give it.
But I'm saying, when you got toys to throw to and a good offensive scheme, Russell Wilson could have hit them wide open people.
Oh, no doubt about it.
You see what I'm saying? A lot of it has to do with, we always talk about it, where you are and who you got.
But here's the thing. But I understand where Big H.O. is going. Trevor, you don't expect that from Trevor Siemian. And the thing about
Denver last year.
I liked Siemian last year.
I did. But here's the thing. Denver just took Paxton Lynch. So what do you do?
He couldn't beat him out.
Exactly. So with Trevor Siemian playing the way he does, is it expected? Who would have thought Trevor Siemian was going to turn out to especially play the game he played the other night?
Yeah. Look at the wideouts he got. He got two big-time wide receivers.
Bebe still dropping balls.
But he big-time.
He is.
He made up for that.
You got what's the other one?
Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah. He got your running back.
CJ Anderson.
He got some toys, some weapons.
And I'm going to tell you, the cat that he threw two touchdowns to.
Yeah,
Benny Fowler. Y'all don't know. I'm watching the game, right? He gets his second touchdown. I go pick him up on waiver wires. In our fantasy league.
I already got it. I was mad because I had him in my FanDuel lineup and took him out.
Oh. I put him in one of mine for the nighttime cap. And
all right, let's get to impressing and not so impressive. Impressive. Impressive, TJ Watt.
Totally impressive to get him.
Exactly.
Yeah, you called that one.
TJ Watt, 7 tackles, 2 sacks, and an interception.
Looking like his brother.
Hey,
he is my impression of the week. Not so impressive. The redhead devil.
He was called the redhead devil. Oh, it used to be the red rifle.
Hey, Andy Dalton, 4 interceptions, and they got shut out.
Mm. That's bad.
With all them weapons they got.
Yeah, that's bad.
Now, listen, who's to really blame for this whole situation? Is it Andy Dalton? Because we, like we say, I'm going to give you a little bit more than it. He is who we thought he was. Or is it the person who's been there for 15 years still allowing this guy to be his starting quarterback without going out to draft another one? And now, who am I talking about? The head coach.
Marvin Lewis.
Who's to blame for that? Because we've been saying Andy Dalton for a long time should have been out of there. Hell, I was even calling for Brody Croyle to start over Andy Dalton at one point.
Yeah, you were.
Okay? So, and I might be right. He's throwing four in his. So, my thing bad, is, man. Who's to blame? Is it Andy Dalton because we knew he was bad already? Or is it Marvin Lewis?
I think both of them
need
to share some blame. Maybe Andy Dalton has showed him more to blame because they paid him.
They gave him a check.
Yeah,
he's so, after drafting Brody Croyle in the second round.
Exactly.
No, right. AJ McCarron.
AJ
McCarron. I feel like they might have had Brody Croyle.
I got all these championship quarterbacks mixed up.
Yeah, oh my God.
They all can't play.
Clipboard. Hey, we clipboard. Eight Hall of Famers, baby. We got them ships, though.
All right, hey, who impressed you this week? And you're not impressed if you got
it. I was impressed with Detroit's wide receiver, Galladay.
Yeah.
And as D will talk about, I went and picked him up as soon as the game was over because he will be in the lineup with Matt Stafford for the rest of the week. But I was impressed with the rookie. He looked good, made a beautiful diving catch for a touchdown.
Uh-huh.
Caught two touchdowns, actually, but the one most spectacular was the one he caught down the middle of the field. Not so impressive. Just the whole Houston Texan organization. I kind of want to give it the team. I won't say the organization because it is, but the team as a whole, for them to put Savage in there, as bad as he looked, if Deshaun Watson would have had a bad preseason, I could understand it. But to what did you think you were going to get out of Savage? If he was head and shoulders better than Deshaun, I could understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had to tailor your offense to, keep plays in there, things that he felt comfortable with, that's what you go with and, rely on your defense. But if you were counting on Savage because he was going to help you get more of your offense in, that was just dumb.
Stupid.
He's horrible. So, to me, it's Houston, Texas. And I hate that because of everything they went through. Maybe that had an effect on them with, a lot of the players maybe still trying to get
half the players ain't even from Texas. I get it.
But they live there.
Yeah, I mean,
their families
live there. A lot of them don't live there. A lot of them live in other places in the offseason, and they just, because if you know.
I'm sure they got draws and stuff somewhere.
Yeah, they got some draws there. They got some draws there, but that's about it. A lot of them living out of suitcases and condos.
So, I know that it's
I feel you, yeah. I'm not being insensitive, but I get it.
I would hope that now they turn the page, move on to Deshaun, and let's go from here.
And they said they go throw to Sammy. They go throw to Hopkins.
Yeah.
They go throw it to him. They go throw it to him.
But you did see you saw why they didn't put Deshaun out there. You saw the flashes of, he's really not ready
to be
out there.
He's
not
ready.
But I agree. You let him take the loss.
And you cater the offense to what – now he had a week.
Now, start
right,
now.
And you cater to what he does well. And
Jameis
protect.
Winston.
Right, exactly.
All right, G, impressed, not so impressed?
I came a little impressed with Deshaun Kizer of the Browns.
Okay.
They were actually in a game. Huh. They were competitive against the Steelers, which you, never expect. Since they came back, never expected for them to be competitive against the Steelers, but they were in the game, and he wasn't that bad. I think he's going to get better, but it's not so awful to which people are asking why did you trade Osweiler? Well, that's kind of why they traded Osweiler. He couldn't do anything that Kizer just did. As far as who didn't impress me, I know they played. They played my team, but I didn't expect them to be so bad. The New York Giants.
Mm.
To where they are so terrible on offense without Odell Beckham Jr. To where nobody can get open. And the offensive line is bad. They can't run the ball. But he says he wants to be the highest paid player in the league. Mm. I believe him. they need to pay that man.
He sees something we didn't see.
Yeah, they're going to add some more zeros to the check.
Exactly.
They need him.
They need him.
This just in, Brian Cushion, Texans linebacker.
Yeah.
Suspended again for PED.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. We
He was accused at USC.
Yeah, he was accused.
But he's suspended again.
Exactly. All right, D-Will, impressed, not so impressed?
My impressive person is, I got to keep it with Ezekiel Elliott. No offseason work, no preseason. Comes out and the Cowboys routed him 24 times to 104 yards. Now, he did not see pay dirt, but that's not a big deal. The biggest thing that came out of that was that you saw him on the field and you saw him being productive. And for him to go out and be productive with everything he's going through, with the lack of work that he's been able to put in the preseason, that says a lot. And now, for them to come out, the NFL is saying it looks like he's going to be able to play week two. And as this continues to go on, you know it's going to drag out, and it's going to be a Tom Brady situation before he got suspended the following season for Deflategate. He's going to play out the whole season and end up playing the whole season for an appeal. So my big up is to Mr. Ezekiel Elliott with 24 carries and 104 yards. If he would have gotten in zone, that would have made it a lot better, as the Dallas Cowboys rocked the
Giants.
Sorry, I got the intern in the corner. He looking real red over there.
How about them
he
Cowboys?
From New York, you know what I'm saying? He's from New York. He looking real red Cowboys? Right now. But
not so impressed.
Not so impressed. I'm just gonna go with the whole NFL first week. For them to have so much controversy going on, I really believe that, and it was due to a lot of bad quarterback play. It was a lot of bad games in the NFL, and it was a lot of unwatchable football at times. It was a couple of good games, and you had some big plays. But all in all, the quality of football was better in college football this weekend than it was in the pros. And you should have expected a lot coming from the NFL with their whole offseason that they had, and this being week one, and them pumping this up to be NFL season is back. It was a lot of bad football that was being played.
I got a quick question for you on that. Do you think it was like more bad quarterback play or bad offensive line play? I think there were a lot of like bad offensive lines out there. The Colts are bad.
Yeah.
The Seahawks are bad. Yeah. The Bengals are bad, and they were one of the top. The Giants are bad.
You know what I think is, you know, the biggest contributing factor to all football being bad? And I don't disagree with you, but I'm going to tell you what it is. To me, on all football levels, and it's about contact.
Yeah.
They don't allow them to hit.
Bad tackling.
Yeah.
Started in Atlanta
game. That's what it is. Even with the offensive line play, if you don't get a chance to practice hitting and everybody get a continuity about how it's going to be when a play is run, they only hit once a week now. You know, and without being able to really hit, that hampers teams.
I agree.
And I think that you probably won't see the continuity and this football get better until about mid-season, because you'll get more reps.
But here's my thing.
They're going to play their way into shape.
I understand that. But and the reason I don't agree with playing your way into shape, these guys get paid millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars.
They should hit the field running. Listen, they get four preseason games. You get warm-up games. You get training. I understand.
They don't play, though.
That's whose fault is that?
Because
the product on the field is suffering, in my opinion. It suffered this week. And if you watch it, the quality of play is way higher in college football, and they don't get a preseason.
Watch and see. Now, about three, four games into the year, watch the teams that really can play.
Hey, three, four games into the year, how many billions of dollars will the NFL have made by week four?
They still going to make money.
You see what I'm saying?
They're going
to
make money.
But if you're going to have that, the product can't suffer the way the product did this weekend.
Alex Smith, Sam Bradford, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff.
Stop. Jared Goff, give that man some love. He played a very good football game.
It's a fluke.
What's the constant?
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
What's the constant?
The defense.
Jeff Fish is gone.
Oh, well, that also. That also.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, you're right.
When you have to, he's an offensive player. And you have to, what you're counting on is for him to get coached. Mm-hmm. And when you have a defensive coach, more times than not, that's not going to happen the way it is.
Yeah.
Now they have an offensive head coach who's going to make sure that he gets offensive coaching.
Exactly.
And it's a better.
It's different for Dan Quinn, who is a defensive coach, because Matt Ryan is an established quarterback.
Right, and he gave over everything to Shanahan.
Exactly.
How long did it take for Shanahan to get him right?
About at least 3 years.
That's what I'm saying. But you got to, you know, that wasn't Quinn's thing. He was like, okay, you got that.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. Get this defense
Jeff Fisher right. was stubborn, who didn't want to do that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And
but Jared Goff looked good.
And speaking of Shanahan, they went scoreless, touchdownless in San Francisco.
We know he went to a bear cover. Exactly. His cover was bad.
And real quick, I said earlier, Rodgers didn't throw for 300. He actually did throw for 311. 42 attempts, one touchdown and one interception.
Didn't look like Aaron Rodgers.
Didn't look like Aaron Rodgers, though. Real quick, before we go to a quick commercial break, Kareem Hunt, Dalvin Cook, LeSean McCoy, Ezekiel Elliott, and Fournette are your 100-yard rushers for the week. So, shout out to Kareem Hunt. Fumbled on the first play.
And went to work.
And then...
And where, what, how many years he been in the league?
First year.
This is here.
So, we had three rookies run for 100 yards out of four.
Yeah.
And you said... The product is suffering.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Product is suffering.
Yep. Exactly.
Because I'm going to tell you, Atlanta missed a lot of tackles.
Oh.
They missed a lot of tackles.
And you can watch it. I'm telling you, that along with worried about getting a penalty for hitting somebody wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Because in the NFL, it's bad. If you get up high, they're throwing the flag. They're throwing the flag.
All right, man. We're going to take a real quick commercial break. We get back. We're going to break down some more of this Clemson. Louisville, we're going to see Action Jackson get in the top 10. We'll be right back. Sports Roundtable, srtradio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
Homeowners, in today's world, no neighborhood is immune from burglaries. Get a state-of-the-art monitored home security system for Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, and get peace of mind today. Call right now, 1-888-213-2244, 1-888-213-2244. Local permit fees may be required. License number CAACO6320, KY City of Louisville 483, and FLEC13003427. Call for additional numbers. Call now, 1-888-213-2244.
To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam is clinically proven to relieve leg and foot cramps. TheraWorks Relief can even prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at Rite Aid or TheraWorksRelief.com.
Sports Roundtable.
That's the dumbest thing that people say. It was a shark attack. No, you in his living room. If a shark eats you, you came to him. I pull for alligators and sharks when people go in their territory and they mess with tigers and lions. I love it. I'm like, get him, Mr. Lion. Please get him.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
Sports Roundtable back at you. We wind it down, end of the show. Hope you enjoyed the first hour and our roundtable discussion as we talk first week of NFL. Bad quarterback play. We graded the Falcons and the Bulldogs got a great win, and Adrian Peterson may have picked the wrong team to play for. 6 carries, 18 yards. Three rookie running backs over 100 yards this week. Now let's get down to this Clemson-Louisville game, 8 o'clock primetime this week. Got Kelly Bryant, cousin of Montavious Bryant of the Pittsburgh Steelers, against Lamar Jackson. Going into the season, he was right outside of the top 5 in the Heisman race. Mm-hmm. They will go at it this weekend. Action Jackson actually totaled over 500 yards this week. I said last week that he's going to need some TV time. And as expected, he will be on prime time this week. So this will, if he performs the way he did last week against mouthing off UNC. He should do that, but Clemson had 11 sacks against Auburn, and
Lamar Jackson is not Jerry Stiller.
They better stay in their lanes.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
If they get out of their lanes, I'm telling you.
So let's break it down. I think that it will be a tight game. I think it'll come down to quarterback play in this game. I think Lamar Jackson has the advantage because he has the more experienced quarterback coach, in my opinion. I think Petrino has figured this thing out in college, especially with the type of quarterback he has. And what Clemson does well is hurts, or well, what Clemson does well is the opposite of what Louisville can do to them. So if you rushing that hard and that fast against Lamar Jackson, it'll be a long day. So I don't think their game plan is to rush hard. I think they're going to sack rush to try to make him throw instead of beating him with his feet. But as we have stated before, Lamar Jackson is an improved quarterback passer. I think it's going to come down to who can make throws in this game. Kelly Bryant, not sure what he can give you yet. Louisville defense is not as potent, so that may give Kelly Bryant some throwing lanes and things of that nature. But it's going to come down to who can make the throws in the crutch. I mean, in the clutch. I got Clemson winning this game in the close one.
Yeah, I don't disagree with a lot of what you say. I do think it's going to be, can Louisville's offensive line hold up enough against the Clemson pressure? But here again, if Clemson comes after Lamar Jackson and gets out of their rush lanes, I think that's going to be a detriment to them. Because last year, even if they did that, you had experience at the linebacker crew with Bulware.
Right.
Bulware's gone. Now you have players that may have played some last year but may not know what to expect. You know, you can talk about the speed of someone, but until you actually face it and understand that you have to take the proper angle against a Lamar Jackson or he's going to get by you.
Right.
So, I mean, I've seen it. He outruns a lot of angles. So that's the thing. And watching him now in the pocket, if you watch him stand there to throw the football, now his base is, last year's legs were out, you know, a little bit out of, you know, unorthodox, out of line or whatever. You can see he's worked on throwing the ball downfield. Right. He has a good platform to throw from. So I see the progression in his throwing, which will be a factor, I believe. I do believe, like I said, Clemson is going to come, but not come hard.
Right.
So that's going to allow him some time. If he gets the one-on-one matchups, especially what Petrino does, I think he'll complete those passes. And I do look for him to get out once or twice. It's just not going to be able to keep him from running sometime or another. He's going to break one off. Them coming within one play. If we all remember last year, they were going in to score a deciding game-winning touchdown.
Right.
And the wide receiver caught the ball and ran. He was by himself. All he had to do was take two steps. He had the first down. He went out of bounds.
Yeah.
And turned the ball over. Mm-hmm. So they were that close at Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
They had two games, kind of get saw to see what their offense is like. I'm looking for Petrino to come out with a different package or whatever. And I'm kind of looking for the upset.
Okay.
I'm not going to call the shot, but I will take the points. But I'm kind of leaning Louisville.
Okay. D. Will.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a couple of names. And this is what the key to the game is to me. This game is going to come down, and Lamar Jackson is the sexy name. All right? We understand he is the head of the snake. He is what Louisville does. But here's the keys to the game. It's going to be Kellen Farrell, Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, Austin Bryant for Clemson. All right? That's who Clemson needs in order to win this game. Now, for Louisville, it's going to come down to Jaren Christian, Kenny Thomas, Robbie Bell, and Lucas McNeil. And y'all looking at me like, who in the hell is that?
You talking about the offense, defensive line.
Thank you very much. It's going to come down to the trenches. If Jaren Christian, Kenny Thomas, Robbie Bell, and Lucas McNeil can contain that front four and front seven of Clemson, and like Han said, give him time to sit in the pocket to go through his progressions, and then to also not only go through his progressions, when the play breaks down, for him to have lanes to improvise. If they're able to do that and Clemson cannot contain Lamar Jackson, it's going to be a long day, because what we do know is that quarterback on the other side will not be able to score with Louisville and Bobby Petrino and Lamar Jackson if it turns into a shootout.
Mm.
All right? Now, we all know that Louisville's defense is going to give up points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's very possible this game can turn into a shootout. And if it turns into a shootout, who do you trust more? Do you trust Lamar Jackson more, or do you trust the Clemson offense more? All right. And the thing is, Lamar Jackson is going to make plays. You may be able to contain him, but you will not stop him.
Right.
All right. So if he's able to make those plays, that's why I'm going to say mine early. I like Louisville in this game. And the reason I like Louisville is because of that dynamic alone. If Lamar Jackson is able to make the one or two plays, and on the plays that are not big plays, just chain moving plays. If we're not having the big turnover, sack fumble, or he's just, you know how Lamar Jackson, last year, I can't say for this year, but last year, when he got a lot of pressure from the outside, not up the middle, because quarterbacks don't like a lot of pressure in their face. For Lamar Jackson, when he gets pressure from the outside, he struggles because he's not, last year, he wasn't able to maneuver in the pocket as well. Now, if he's learned how to maneuver in the pocket, like, and he showed it last week when he had the step up in the pocket when the North Carolina rusher had a free rusher. He saw it. He checked to it. He knew it was coming. The free rusher came. He was able to step up in the pocket and still throw the touchdown pass. Now, if he's able to do that, I believe Louisville can win the game. But if it turns into a shootout, like I said earlier, I don't believe Clemson can score with Louisville.
All right, G, you got some fruit cups on this?
A couple. Right. But I'm going with Louisville on this to start. I don't think Clemson's offense can stay with Louisville's offense, like match them, you know, play for play. Not only did Lamar Jackson have the 500 yards of total offense against North Carolina, they also had a running back, Malik Williams, rush for 149 yards on only 13 carries. Now, I know it's against North Carolina, but still, if they can rely on him to make big plays, I mean, there's a possibility he can make big plays as well. And watching a few, I wasn't able to catch the game, but in watching some highlights of how Louisville was scoring their points, not only with Lamar Jackson, like, not just taking off at the first sign of trouble or anything, but even with North Carolina rushing 3 and dropping 8, you know, you think that's going to
disrupt
them. No one can get open. But all of a sudden, a couple of times I thought it was like someone ran off the Louisville sideline. They ran a drag route. But someone would just come across the middle and it'll be an easy completion for him. So being able to get those plays and like keep his rhythm and everything, you know, that's why they were able to put up 47 points, is because North Carolina really didn't stop them. You know, they did score 35 points themselves. So, like you said, Louisville is going to give up some points. But I think it's going to be very hard for Clemson to stick with them, like to keep scoring points themselves.
And me and Han talked about this in week one through text. That first game, Clemson DBs were getting torched. They looked bad in the first half. Mm-hmm. They were really getting beat up. So my thing is, if they're unable to contain, because it's a lot about that front seven that runs that Clemson defense. So if Lamar Jackson is able to threaten that back in and get to the second level, it's going to be a lot.
I like what you said about moving the chains. If he's able to move the chains, keep that off the D line on the field.
Yeah, that's big.
That's going to be big because he won't be able to substitute him out.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
A couple of first downs in that drive, chasing him all night.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough. Playing with tempo, that no huddle where they can't substitute is going to be big.
Yeah.
And they play with tempo.
And another thing we got a thing of note. A lot of people may not give Dabo a lot of credit.
They don't.
But, I give him more than I did.
Yeah, but he has come through. Yeah, he has come through in some very, very, very big games. And that having gone to 2 back-to-back national championship games, I think he has a lot of more winning plays, so to speak, with Clemson than that. So you got to.
That's a big one, though.
Yeah. This is a big one. So take Dabo Swinney's experience with the back-to-back championships against maybe Bob Petrino and the way that he can use his.
What's the constant in those back-to-back championships, though?
Defense?
No.
Deshaun Watson, yeah.
Exactly.
I agree.
So now we got to see him do it without him.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's big. So I expect Lamar Jackson to have a big, big game. But I think this is going to be a nail biter coming to the end. So I think it's going to be a great one. So, but we got to give our shout outs. It's time to.
No!
Yeah, it's about that time. Shout out to my main man Lance, intern coming in tonight, doing his thing, man. He we go see what he made of.
Here. He blending.
Yeah, he's blending in so far. Shout out to the crew. Another hot show, another banger. Another one is always in the books. Shout out to our loyal listeners. Shout out to our sponsors. Jeju's Cars, Big Easy Grill, Big Boy Cigars, Real Talk Tees. And of course, shout out to our Facebook Live. Thanks for always tuning in each and every week as we do this all the time. And remember, y'all play that 8:24. You got to 11 o'clock to get your Cash 3 in. 8:24, baby. That's the number to play tonight. So that's all I got on my shots.
Yeah, shout out to the wife. T, love you, baby. Shout out to my pops, man. I ain't shout my dad out in a while. Shout out Roosevelt Hancock, my man. Go. And for all the folks, anyway, what I'm supposed to say, follow your boy at Sports Superheroes. Dot SRT on Twitter. Holla at your boy.
All right. Who is it? D Will or G?
G-Money.
G, on my bad.
Whatever. shout out to
no love.
I'm saying it could go either in either way as far as order. Anyway. Shout out to my mom and dad who listen every week. Shout out to everyone who joined Hancock or D Will or HO on Facebook Live. And you can follow me on social media at G Plays It Cool, and also my podcast, By the Time You Hear This. You can go to bythetimeyouhearthis.com. We're doing a new episode this week about the Jacksons and American Dream miniseries.
Cool. All right, D.
Hey, shout out Wifey, man. And I want to shout out all my Facebook Live listeners, man. Tay, he been tuned in the whole time, man. I salute you, homie, and everybody else. I can't call y'all by name, but shout out. But y'all already know, man, follow me on social media, man, at underscore Real Talk Tees. That's at underscore Real Talk Tees. Also, on IG, at I Am Coach K9. That's I Am Coach K as in King and the number 9. And go buy a t-shirt, man, at realtalktees.bigcartel.com. Holler at me, man. Keep the conversation going.
All right, and don't forget to follow SRT on all social media platforms at SRT Radio. And follow me, myself, HOHM3Inc. Follow me at HM3Inc. I'm on Twitter as well, so follow me there. And, hey, great show, man. Looking forward to another great NFL week. Hopefully better offensive line play, better quarterback play, and I'm definitely looking forward to this Clemson and Louisville game. This is going to be a barn burner, I tell you that. We will be back next week again, same back time, same back channel, and you already know Sports Roundtable, where sports and entertainment meets. We know sports. You already know. That's our hashtag. And if you don't know, this is how we get up out of here. Hand, let's roll.
Boogie! I'm headed home, baby.
They call me Coach because I teach you how to ball.
This your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Mom, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
tell him again, Jamel Hill. You ain't lying.
Hey, Jamel!
And we out. Peace.